ladies, Shir, Sunday, Zion Ador, Zion Ador Beis, Tafshinayan Dalit, ladies, Shir, and Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh. Okay, Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh, Paragimel, number 18, Bashmona Osar. Bashmona Osar is tricky. It tells a person, again, these are things to think about, and ideas, concepts, and Chavis Halodos here is going to give a mahalach how to think about yourself and how to think about your ambitions and what you would like to do and what you would like to accomplish. And if you feel good about yourself or not so good about yourself, all the things that you pay a lot of money for, so the lovers is now handing it to you for free. It really is a short restatement of Shar HaKaniya, which is many prokim long. HaKaniya, of humility or of submissiveness. How to think of yourself and your qualities and your capabilities and your abilities vis-a-vis Hashem and vis-a-vis other people. I think that that's what this is. Vashmona also number 18 is Cheshbon the Adam in Nafsho, to make the following Cheshbon, which in the Chavis Halavos speak. It means to think about the following. The Eis Kavhusa, when you're feeling good about yourself, maybe a little smug, maybe you're feeling a little ambitious, you're confident, you can conquer the world. Now there's nothing wrong with that, but he doesn't want you to go the wrong way with that. Meaning, as the Chavis Halavos always teaches us, you have to think about Hashem, where Hashem plays a role in all of this. So you're feeling good and you're feeling accomplished and you're feeling capable. So people mistake Shar HaKaniya if they don't learn it well. They mistake it for the Chavis Halavos smashing someone down when he's feeling good about himself or herself. So he smashes down and said, "You're nothing, you're a puny nothing." Which is, and he'll explain, and that's true in a certain sense. But what he's really driving at is that the person should realize that everything he or she has is a gift from Hashem. So that's why the balancing act is between feeling, that's tricky. Because you owe it all to Hashem. This is really what gets in the way of people being Oved Hashem, because they don't want to feel obligated or tied or that they owe it all to something outside themselves, right? Their ego tells them, "I did this, I accomplished this, I am capable, I can do this." So you have to strike this balance. So he's going to tell us the balance. At times he's going to sound extreme to the what nowadays would not be acceptable to tell someone. They would say, "What are you doing? You're ruining the person's self-image. You're ruining the person's self-esteem. You're making them feel lowly, and you have to pick them up and work on self-esteem." So, Chavis Halavos is he's old-fashioned. He lived over 1,000 years ago. Chavis Halavos approach, again, in Shar HaKaniya, and I think this is just a restatement of Shar HaKaniya, is that self-esteem, which I'm anyway no big fan of, as a goal. Because the mother says in many places, the goal is self-control, not self-esteem. But now we're talking about self-esteem. Because the mother says it's a double-edged sword, as we call it. On one hand, a person has to feel like they're capable, they have to feel like they can accomplish, has to feel confident, has to feel that they can accomplish things and do things. But the double-edged sword is that Chavis Halavos wants Hashem esteem, not self-esteem. And it's very easy to step over the line. You know, we think, okay, I say Baruch Ato Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Shekhom Li'eb Edvaro. You know. But it's very easy to just feel that it's you. So this is how he puts it. Cheshbon Adam and Nafsha Beis Gavusa, when it's feeling, it's on a roll. His Gadla, Baruchak Mishaleha, Balam Hazeh, and he's out to conquer the world, out to accomplish. For who, she is bonein erkel bebriya, he should think about his true worth, where he fits into the briya, ben elyonim betachtonim. He should realize where he sits in the pecking order. For tisboralo katnuso uze eruso ben yisirus abori. If you look at it with an objective eye, a human being is the weakest and least capable of all the creatures that Hashem made. A human being, an animal becomes self-sufficient much quicker than a human being. An animal has instincts to do the right thing, what it needs to do. A person has to learn. Every behavior is learned. Doesn't do the right things by instinct. And he's not especially strong, not especially powerful, not especially anything really. And if you would just take that and make a list of the brios, a person would be pretty low down. He says, "Kamo shabiyadu binyan zeh b'shar hashishi shar hakniyah min hasefer hazeh," which is shar hakniyah. Okay, so now I'm feeling pretty small, and a mouse has parnosa, and I have to struggle with my parnosa. A mouse has what to eat, and the lion has what to eat. Everybody has what to eat, and I'm sitting here struggling. Okay, so you're not such a hotshot. The yistakel achar kach, then you like jump, and you think about, you observe. B'meshachilek habore min agdula la'adam. You say, wow, I am the only bria that has bechira. I am the only bria that has seichel. Maybe I'm not physically, or in terms of my health, in terms of my capabilities physically, in terms of my instincts of doing the right thing, maybe I'm low on the totem pole. On the other hand, though, Hashem gave me seichel, which no one else has. Hashem gave me bechira, which no one else has. And Hashem gave me the capability of becoming like a malach. Losam min hagedula la'odam. Shehashlito b'minei hachayim. Right, you don't see animals ordering people around. Isn't that the Animal Farm by George Orwell? You see people tamed animals, people tame nature, people conquer. Well, look, nowadays, I mean, you have scientific accomplishments, we conquer outer space. We, you know, maybe we're not as, from one perspective, we're not as mighty and powerful as animals, or we're not as mighty as powerful as the cosmos. But you see, Hashem allowed us to conquer them, and Hashem to tame them, and to use them for the benefit of this world that He created. Sheshlito b'minei hachayim, v'hatzmochim, plants, v'hamotzeim, k'mo shekosov, tamshileh, the posuk in Tillim, which describes the grandeur of a person. Tamshileh b'ma'aseh yodecha, you have made the person like bishalit over all of nature. Kol shata tachas raglov. You put everything at his feet. Everything at his. He can control anything he wants to. He has the ability to. And then you say v'sheyodiyu chukei toroso. And wow, Hashem tells us the way to live, how He wants us to live. V'hamido al kol ma sheyesh bo takonas takonoso misodos elyon olam hazeh v'tachtono. And He gave us a Torah. He gave us the way to learn that we can be like Malachim, that we can control the world, and we can find Hashem will take pleasure in us, and we can find the Ratzon Hashem. And that's amazing. No, the animals don't have that. That's anoso ba'esa metzu. No, and then He made us even more special. B'shvachol uvodoso laboro, that we have the ability to praise Hashem. That is an amazing thing. That is something we don't deserve to be able to do. That is a goal in itself. Mizmoshir liyom ha-shabbos tov lahodos la-Hashem. If you pay attention to the first bracha of Kriya Shema, the whole Bria is singing praises to Hashem, acknowledging Hashem, and a person, so they do it as part of what we'll call nature. They do it naturally. They do it automatically. A person does it out of Bechira. That's unbelievable. And like, in the Melech Bosav, when there used to be Melachim in the world, so if you were given the opportunity to go to the Melech just in order to praise him, you felt yourself a very lucky individual. Wow, I have a chance to go to the Melech and praise him. That makes you a very special person. Kol Shekein, we do something that only Malachim do. We praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we choose to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Uvukaru Eilov Mitzaros. That's a tremendous thing. When the Pasuk says, Ki mi goy gadol, asher lo elokim krovim eilov. Where is there a nation in the world that Hashem is so close to? Kashem Elokeinu b'chol kareinu eilov. The Pasuk singles out tefillah. We daven to Hashem for our needs, and He responds. He knows anyway without our davening. He's going to do for us anyway without our davening. But He set up a system where we acknowledge that we need Him. We acknowledge our need for Him. And he kvayochol, I'll say the word kvayochol, responds. That's what it looks like. That's what it appears as if He's responding. So that's a big schus. So not only do we have seichel, and not only do we control nature, and not only do we tame nature, and not only do we take nature and utilize it for our purposes, but then we're given an even higher madrega where we're taught what Hashem wants us, how Hashem wants us to live, and we get to praise Hashem and to daven to Hashem when we have tzaros. See, tzaros are many times. Tzaros are there to elevate a person, maybe even always, one could say. There's different ways of elevating a person. But certainly there's a mahalach of elevating a person. You become closer to Hashem, you feel closer to Hashem. So that's why he counts it as a milah, and a, like, wow, you should be thankful. Uvakaru elav mitzaros. We're not talking about someone who gets up and decides to say Hallel because they want to praise Hashem. We're talking about someone that has tzaros. So in frustration, maybe even in desperation, he calls out to Hashem. That's great. That's a wonderful thing. Uva anoso be'es ha-metzukos, and Hashem responds. Ubochor obo, and he picked mankind, v'sholcho el bruav, and he put him down in the midst of all of his bruim. Umosro elov, and he taught us sodos gevuroso, secrets of his gevura, how to daven. Maybe it's Kabbalistic, the sodos of how he runs the world, how the Dvar Hashem filters down to every blade of grass and to every action of a person. The heroes hamotzim al yodo, and sometimes he reveals himself in this world through a person. Motzim happen. If there would be no people, no one would realize that there's motzim going on, and there would be no point to the motzim. But people see the motzim, they become affected, it's just a question of making Hashem real, feeling that He's real, feeling He's a presence in your life. That's the whole, or else why, He's not doing Movesim because of a trick. He's doing a magic trick. He's doing Movesim, the Ramban explains, because He wants to show you. He wants to, have an effect. Shouldn't be the Shigra, the normal Shigra. So you wake up and you realize that the normal Shigra is also like that. I can't even begin to enumerate what Hashem does for us, how He elevates us and lifts us up. Anofios, varuchnios, hakololos, vamiuchados, general tova that we share with all humans, specific, it boils down to you. You have milas that no one else has. You have qualities that no one else has. You can accomplish things that no one else can. So this is all what you're thinking about, and you're bursting with gratitude to Hashem that He gave you, that your nose works, which is klali, and that you feel you can figure things out, and that's prati, and that's a chesed de tovo aleinu. Yeah.
Is it then poetic license when you say that all the angels give shiras to Hashem?
No, either there's two interpretations of that. but none of them have the animal having bechira. So the shira is already on a lower level. It's just its nature taking its course, not that it's independent power, chas v'shalom, but its nature taking the course that Hashem set up a maslul, the 443, the one, whatever you call it, the 38. He set up a maslul, and nature is following that maslul, and it's the perfect road. A nace is b'dieved. Almost all Rishonim say so. A nace is something which is troubling. Why isn't nature, meaning the way Hashem said that the world should normally run, why wouldn't that be enough to have history flow the way Hashem wants it to flow? A nace nistar, as we're going to celebrate Purim, a nace nistar is on a higher madrega in that sense of a nace than a nace nigla, because it keeps the world. Hashem made a perfect world. So if that perfect world can produce results when there's a bump in the road, that's even more perfection. Most of the time, well, it's hard to say. Nisim either take place, Nisim Gluyim, either take place because Hashem wants to reveal himself, and to fools and to people who are not Chavis HaLavis learners, or to people who are not Ma'aminim, Hashem is not revealed till they see the sea split, till they see the day last 36 hours instead of 24 hours. Then they say, oh, there's something going on here. That's one interpretation of why there's an ace gully. And the other interpretation is, so that it's that Hashem should reveal himself. Well, that's really, and the other interpretation is that it requires an ace. In other words, Hashem built into the Bria that certain situations would not be able to be resolved through Teva, and an ace would happen. When we say the animal says Shira, it either means their Sar says Shira, or it means they're fulfilling their Pekudot. That's the Shira to Hashem. They're doing what they're supposed to do. Like we said a few months ago, the Chavis HaLavis wants us even to make a Kal V'Chomer from animals. To say everything in the Bria is doing the will of Hashem. Why in the world shouldn't I do the will of Hashem?
Because there was a tree always that we passed, and always the latest time from Mitzvah. There was such a cacophony of song coming out of that tree. All the birds collected in that one tree,
mincha
time. Oh, we always knew what it was.
Okay, so you were zochet to have that. That's amazing, Baruch Hashem. But they certainly don't have bechira. So it's amazing. This you should be more amazed about a person who chooses to daven. That's what the Chazal Bavos is saying. When a person chooses to daven, that's more amazing in the eyes of Hashem, and that's something we have to be very thankful for. Now, what the Chazal Bavos though. The point of number 18 is to toggle back and forth with two Amish extreme feelings. One, I feel like a worm, and that's David HaMelech's lashon. Onochi sola'as velo ish. I'm nothing. I can't, and I'm lower than the animals. An animal cleans itself. An animal takes care of itself. An animal has instincts that it would not harm itself. A person, you leave a baby outside, it'll harm itself. An animal will never harm itself. Right? The mother, and an animal's ready to roll at what, 2 months, 3 months, the mother can go back to sleeping all night already. It's a 2 or 3 months. And a person is not like that. A person, everything's gradual, everything's a battle. A person is a person, we know. Right? So on one hand, like, what am I? Who am I? Like, what? Why do I deserve? How can I feel? Really, I mean, again, to the modern ear, it sounds very wrong. But you say, why do I deserve anything good? What am I? I'm nothing. I have nothing. Everything is given to me as a gift. That I have nothing. On the other hand, he wants you to toggle and say, look what Hashem. Look at the gifts Hashem gave me. This is the Chavis HaLavis's, this is really Shar HaKaniyah. The Chavis HaLavis's mahalach of self-esteem not turning into arrogance, which many times it does, and the proper life attitude about yourself is, really I could sum it up in one sentence. I am nothing, I have nothing, I am nothing, but the gifts that I do have, are from Hashem. So, like, that's how you feel. So, well, that's how you're toggling. So you're not going to fall into the danger of koichim b'risim yod. You're not going to fall into gaiva, which many people who stress self-esteem, they did studies, self-esteem gurus, right, are creating bali gaiva, and people who can flout the law, and people who can do what they want, because aniva afsi od, it's just a skip and a hop to aniva afsi od from self-esteem. But if you don't even have self-esteem, I mean, the Chavik of Lovers is describing someone who has no self-esteem. You say, how can that be? I don't know. I think nowadays that sounds so terrible. But the self-esteem of the Chavik of Lovers is totally wrapped up with Hashem, intertwined with Hashem. It's a gift from Hashem. I'm realizing that I have, like, where am I coming from? Why do I deserve to have anything? I didn't do anything to deserve what I have. So that's all from Hashem. So that's number 18. To toggle back and forth between these two things, you're saved from gaiva by thinking in the first thought, but you don't get depressed and sick and disgusted and stay in bed or suicidal because you're thinking the second thing. Wait a second. Look at Hashem gave me the koach to rule over the world. And we're talking about bridges and we're talking about highways. And we're talking about the atom bomb, and we're talking about energy, and we're talking about all these things. And then he says, and then on top of that, he gave me a Torah, and he told me what pleases him and what doesn't please him. And then on top of that, he allowed me to talk to him. This is the progression. He allows me to talk to him and praise him. And above that, he allows me to ask him for things. And above that, he responds to me. You know, that's a pretty good feeling. But it's always mixed in with, it's not me. I didn't do anything to deserve it. I didn't. It's all a gift from Hashem that allows this to be done. The histakel ochi kama erkecha nikla. Now he's toggling back the other way. Kama erkecha nikla is mevuze v'inyon chanivze v'kama gidlecha boracha. Now he puts it in there. Hashem was megadol you im ma she'enot tzorech lecha, im ma she'enot tzorech lecha. Hashem has no need for you. Hashem had no compelling reason to create man and to give him these kochos. They're God endowed, and Hashem needed nothing. So I don't know if he needed something, the godel tzorchacha, and how much you need el hashgachoso v'hanagaso, you need him to take care of you. Right? If we were left our own devices, we wouldn't hack it. We're like the weakest animal in the animal kingdom, just about. And so he says, so you think about that, and v'chus, and have rachmonos al ha'atorah ha'gadola, on the great crown that Hashem gave you, asher itarchobo. So what's that great crown? That great crown is all these things he just said. That I have Bechira, I have Seichel, I'm Jewish, and we can go on. I'm living in Eretz Yisrael. Be careful with the crown. You were handed a crown by the king, and don't go thinking that, you know, you were born with it on your head, and you deserve it, and it's supposed, and it belongs there, and that's where it's supposed to be. It's a complicated way to think. It's not so simple, but it's one size fits all. If you're feeling about gaiva, you can do number 18, and if you're feeling depressed and dissatisfied with your life, you can do number 18 also. And that's what the Chavis HaLevavos wants. And that's the whole Sharakniya, is that a person has to strike this balance. That's why Gedolim Moshe Rabbeinu was the Ono B'Kol Adam. Yet he's a takif, and he knows what's right and what's wrong, and he's ready to lead a sometimes rebellious nation through the midbar for 40 years and stand at its helm. You have to be a strong leader for that. None of me call other, he say, can't be a strong leader. Well, yes, he could. If you strike this balance, you'll be the honor of me call other, because Moshe Rabbeinu was so keenly aware that Hashem was giving him everything that he was and that he was capable of doing. Part of that was his leadership qualities, you know. So he had like this reminder that it's always from Hashem, because he was kvatpev, kvatlashon. That's what, you know, that's probably the pshat in that. I mean, I'm sure everyone says that his being a kvatpev, kvatlashon is was for his own sake. Maybe others say it's for our sake, so we shouldn't say he was a smooth talker. And he made up a religion. So he was a kvad loshon, but also it's legabe, maybe himself, maybe us, right? And, so that's this balancing act you have to have. That's number 18. And he calls it, don't mess up the crown you were given. Right? The crown is how much we're capable of doing. And I want to address specifically ladies. If you would have been, like, you were born in a time where women, even al pi Torah, you'll excuse the expression, can have it all, can do it all, right? If you would have been born a couple of years ago, you would be illiterate. So you wouldn't have known any better, so you wouldn't have felt bad. But, there's an interesting book written. I don't approve of it, or I don't disapprove of it. I didn't study it enough. I forget what it's called. It's by Frum Lady. I forgot what it's called. It's like the Yesod is that women are like a reflection of the Levana, and as women become more equal with men in terms of education, in terms of learning Torah, in terms of having jobs and contributing to society, It's the road of the tikkun and the pekam halavana. And the women are the levana and men are the chama, and this is like a tikkun, and it's a sign of and Mashiach comes. And when Mashiach comes, then the levana vayisor alavana karachama choshivus meibreishes, and then women will maybe there'll be a fusion the way it's supposed to be of zachar and akeva, where it's not even two entities. But history is following that mahalach. It's written by a woman, a Frum woman. It's not a bad yesod. It's not like, oh, happy Christmas. You know, it takes women's lib, which was a terrible, terrible movement. Okay, everything in the world can be used l'tov and can be used l'ra, virtually everything. I mean, everything has. So this book presents really a positive side to feminism, even though feminism itself, the way it turned out, is bad. It turned out very non-Torah Hashkafa, because it was just like Zionism, right? What could be better than Zionism? What could be more kosher, more pure, more wonderful, more Torahic, more God-oriented than Zionism, right? But it was taken by people. This is very difficult to live with it, because then because most people are not exactly geniuses of subtlety. They just know black and white. So you're either Satma or you're saying Halal Yom Ha'atzma'ut, right? And if you want to learn a whole day and not go to the army, so that means you think Israel shouldn't have an army. That's absurd. That's ridiculous. And it means you're not makir tov to the soldiers. That's childish. It doesn't take that much sophistication. But the problem is most people don't even have that little sophistication, a little subtlety, a little. You know, there are shades and there are different ways of tackling life, and not every, things are not black and white. They rarely are. Anyway, so this lady wrote this book. It's pretty good book. The word moon is in the title. The word moon is a Frum lady. It's not bad. I didn't read it thoroughly to say it's kosher. Like, I don't know what she's.
I didn't play the moon waxing though.
She, I don't know. I didn't like learn the book. It was not bad. It puts a positive spin on really, instead of saying the world's gone to hell in a breadbasket, whatever that lotion is, right? It puts a positive spin on that. Just like, you know, you have to put a positive spin on democracy, no more malachim in the world. Personal freedom, people are free to choose, and every country in the world, virtually, I mean, even North Korea, I think, pays lip service to freedom. You know, probably it's called the People's Democracy of North Korea or something like that. Everybody, so, and that's a tremendous step for the world, where people are much, you know, you move away from slavery, move away from even people as have been serfs and are owing their whole lives to the, and there's so much personal freedom now, and it's a danger, but it's a wonderful thing. I mean, so the world's moving in the, again, everything's a double-edged sword.
The Torah doesn't spell democracy.
I'm sorry?
The Torah doesn't spell democracy.
Well, it depends what you mean by democracy. You know, it doesn't let you do what you want, because if you let a person do what they want, they would quickly degenerate into what America's becoming. But in terms of self-government, in terms of running a city, it's a democracy. The Torah, what? The king of Am Yisrael, first of all, it's worthy of years of study. First of all, it's complicated. But the king, first of all, his primary job was to make sure Torah was kept. And he worked hand in hand with the Sanhedrin. He protected, it's like saying, you know, if you're libertarian, right? So you say the only job of government is to have a police force for internal threats and an army for external threats. So the melech Taka did that. You don't really, and he promulgated laws for the betterment of society. Instead of having, so you say it's not a democracy. I don't know how each city governed itself. Well, the Torah doesn't talk about running a city. The Torah doesn't decide if you should collect garbage 3 times a week or 2 times a week and how high taxes should be. It doesn't. It leaves that. And a lot of it, the king does, but in most of it, in history, there was always, even in the Gemara, okay, it was after there was a melech. I don't know if the melech got involved on the local level. I say the melech, because in the Gemara there's always Zion Tuvei Ho'ir, 7 aldermen, I think they would be called, who ran the city. They didn't have a mayor system. They had Shiva Tuvei Ho'ir, and they were voted for. They probably had signs up, vote for me, you know. They had Shiva, and this is in the Gemara, in the Mishnayos. This is a Chazal. That's l'chora how local government worked. The Melech, you know, was a Melech, but it doesn't sound like he mixed into every ear of the ear. He said broad policy. The primary thing was to make sure there was justice in the land, make sure there's courts, make sure people don't get. That's what you see in Tehillim. L'shlomo alokim mishpatecha l'melechtein v'titkoscha l'ven melech. The last capital there, Yom Shlishi. If you say 7 a week, if you split it into 7, so the last one of Yom Shlishi describes a melech's role. A melech is not a dictator. A melech, first of all, is meshubah to the Torah. That's number one. His job is to see that justice is done. Like a big policeman, to make sure that people are not cheated and robbed, and to bring people to justice, and to make sure there's a court system functioning when people have a machlokes about who's right and who's wrong. He is in charge of making sure of that. Very little of the Jewish concept of a king is, you know, like a dictator. This is what you're going to do. He has those powers, it's true. He can confiscate property. But it's always, he can confiscate property if he's, you know, the rules are he can confiscate property if he sees it's necessary for the nation. So it's like saying eminent domain. You know, so that's a king, that's really a melech concept, eminent domain. The Rambam sums it up. An eved is the servant of the people, not the lord of the people, not the adon of the people, he's the servant of the people. And that's how he has to see himself. When I say that the Torah recognizes the democracy per se, first of all, many times they chose the melech. I don't know if they had elections, but the melech had to be popularly, unless the Navi, you know, picked them, the melech was picked through popular acclaim. And as I say, in the Gemara, and even afterwards, up till Klal Yisrael lost its autonomy as in Golus, we lost a lot. I'm not a big historian, but Klal Yisrael always had a functioning self-government within for themselves. They always, there was the Baal Arba Aratzos, they self-governed pretty much. As long as they paid their taxes, everybody was happy. But that's lost now. Everything's double-edged sword. Now there's great freedom, but there's no more kehilos. We can't make a tax so that schools should be free. That's the way it's supposed to work. Where do you think the goyim got it from? The goyim got it from us. That people pay money, tax, and there's universal education. And education doesn't cost money. Education doesn't cost money. It's free. It's so necessary. So they got it from us. So why don't we do it? Why are we paying in America? Like, why paying tuition? Because we have no more kolach to tax. Because we lost any autonomous self-government. So you say, oh, it's such a terrible thing. No, maybe it's a good thing. I look at it, again, I'm not really, I tell myself that with the rise of Reform Judaism, and then you have different kehilos, and if we would have autonomy, then what do you do if you're under the thumb of a Reform government? Let's say in Eretz Israel, you're under the thumb of a not from mayor. You don't want to be that. You don't want to, right? He can do a lot of things. In Eretz Israel, a mayor is very powerful. He sets priorities for the town in a way that no New York mayor would be able to. So everything. And then that's really history. I'm not really a historian. What I'm saying is like the extent of my knowledge, which is pretty low level. Let's get back to the Chavis Halvavis. So he wants you to toggle between these two feelings. So either you're going to end up being a schizophrenic, and you're going to have to go for therapy, because is the word schizophrenic, is that the right word, right? For some hours you're a big balgaiva and no one can go near you, you're so obnoxious, and then you turn around and you say, step on me. But that's really... No, it's beautiful if you can manage it. This is what he wants you to do. This is number 18. What you're saying is everything is from Hashem. And then you feel so connected to Hashem, you feel brave and optimistic because you're not trusting your own abilities because you have them or because you're capable. Then you could indeed be plagued by mistrust, by lack of the confidence you need. Let's say you want to start a certain venture. See, this is what the Chavis Halvavis wants you to think. I want to start a certain venture. I have a good idea. Maybe to make money, or maybe to help Klal Yisrael. It really doesn't matter. You say, I want to start. They say, oh my goodness, you know what it takes? Someone sits you down and say, let me knock some sense into you. What you want to do, you know what it takes? Because everybody you tell your idea to is going to say, don't do it. That's the nature of people. They can say, no, you can't do it. And then they're going to... But if I say, I can't even get dressed in the morning without Ezer Hashem. This is what the Chavis Halvavis is telling you to think in number 18. An animal either doesn't have to get dressed or can fend for itself. I can't even fend for myself. I'm dependent on my parents, or I'm dependent on the bus driver. I'm totally dependent. An animal is like... free to roam and to create it, and has a livelihood and doesn't have to worry about where his next meal is going to come from. An animal doesn't have to pay a mortgage. Hey, who wants to be an animal? Raise your hand. I think everybody's falling asleep. So you say to yourself, really, this is what I want you to think. I want to make a school system for kids with special needs. Are you crazy? You know what it's going to take? Say, yeah, but I can't even tie my shoes without Hashem. That's what the Chavis Halvavis is doing here for the person. He's saying, oh, and if you're saying, look at me, I'm so great, look what I can do, then he says, calm down, you can't even tie your shoes without Ezer Hashem. You're nothing, an animal is better than you, a plant is better than you. This is really an elaboration of the Chazal that simply says, why was a person created last? And the Chazal say, because if he's feeling low, Hashem says, look, I created a whole world for you. I made sure everything was in place, ready to be at your beck and call. You can harness the whole world. And in our days, we've been zoche, I guess one should say, we've been zoche to harness so much of Teva,
It's not just a question of we used to harness animals, right? We used to harness other people, have them be slaves. We harness agriculture, you know, we learned how to do this throughout history. Look how much we learned how to do. I mean, this is all described in Parshas Bereishis, Parshas Noach, how the world started developing and we conquered. But now we harness the most, like, the secrets of the energy of the universe. I mean, I'm sure, you know, we didn't reach the end of it, just because the guy's name is Einstein, but we harnessed, like, the energy. That's, like, amazing. So that's, Hashem let us do that, you know, so He put everything at our feet. On the other hand, we have to look at the at animals and say, you know, we're nothing. You know, so everything's Hashem. It's really, it's a back and forth. It's a toggling, and but it's perfect. It's beautiful. Like, if you can manage this, well, you have to think about it. If you can manage this realization and live with it, then there's nothing you can't do. I don't know, you know, you can try anything, you can feel confident and optimistic and brave, and you have worlds to conquer, and you won't be a Balgaiva. Because the whole time, you're realizing that everything is a Shefa from Hashem. And Adarabba, it's not just, I can't make a school network for kids with special needs without Hashem. It's, I can't pick up a spoon and feed myself without Hashem. And an animal, the animal needs Hashem too, of course, but an animal just does it, right? I had to be taught, and I have to always taught, and we know the frailties of the human body, we know the frailties of the human seichel, we know, right, all of our frailties, so, you know, and that's why people do get depressed. And maybe the reason nowadays, I think people get more depressed nowadays than they used to. So you can time it, it's not true, just now they talk about it and write books about it. But I think the less you work with your hands, the less you're connected to Hashem. This is my theory. You know, the more technocratic we become, the more industrial revolution we become, so the less we're connected to Hashem, so then, on one hand, bigger baligaiva, but then you look around and you really see you control nothing. Right, things are really spinning out of control. You really can't control what happens, and then you get depressed. And you say, "What's the point? I tried, I failed, nothing works. What can I accomplish already? This one's against me, that one's against me. How am I gonna?" And if you forget about Hashem, then you just feel depressed. And then people are depressed. They don't feel they can accomplish anything. They don't feel they'll be successful because they forget the Hashem factor. We've got to write a book. We'll call it the Hashem factor. They forget the Hashem factor, so they either get depressed, or they become total baligaiva, right? And really, that's the same thing, because as soon as the baligaiva crashes, he gets depressed. And if the person who's depressed wants to cover up his depression, he becomes a baligaiva. Every arrogant person you know has the lowest self-esteem. If you had a self-esteem monitor, and you put the monitor over the big baligaiva, it would register like very close to the bottom. That's why he's a baligaiva, because he's covering up his depression. He's covering up his lack of self-esteem. Most baligaiva are terribly lacking in self-esteem. And they cover it up by being baligaiva. I say most. Once in a while you have like a real baligaiva. An emissary baligaiva. What? How do you know? He's probably depressed. He has no family life. He has no friends. Everybody's out to soak from him what they can. And he, at the end of the day, after he has his fun, he has to come home at night and look in the mirror. And what does he see? What did I accomplish today? I don't know everything. So I made $1 million. What do I have to show for it? I'm unhappy. I don't have anything to show for it. I didn't accomplish anything. What's going to be with my life? Maybe he'll see a cemetery. He'll say, you know something? People richer than me are buried there now. What do I have to show for it? Okay.